seasons in one day. Lying in the depths of your imagination, worlds above and worlds below. The sun shines on the black clouds hanging over the domain. Even when you're feeling warm, the temperature could drop away. Like four seasons in one day. Smiling as the shit comes down, you can tell a man from what he has to say. Everything gets turned around, and I will risk my neck again, again. You can take me where you will, up the creek and through the mill. Like all the things you can't explain, four seasons in one day. Blood. Sleeping on an unmade bed, finding out wherever there is comfort, there is pain. Only one step away, like four seasons in one day. Blood dries up.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Welcome to a Wednesday. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live here at the Progressive Voices Network on NicoleSandler.com, and a little later, a bunch of other places, including I had to say it right. FYI Nation, Netroots Radio, GDPR. I'm going to leave some people out, so that's why I don't ever do that. But to all the stations that carry the show, thank you, first of all, for doing that. Second of all, just a quick programming note up front is that I'm not going to be here for the next 2 days. I've got some of those pesky tests again. Yes, you know, one of the side effects of lung cancer is you have to go in for scans every 3 months. So I have a scan, another CAT scan on Friday. And tomorrow I'm going to see the cardiologist because I've had this racing heart thing going on and we need to get that checked out. So I'm taking a long weekend. Then I get to take my kid up to camp. Allison graduated high school. Oh, she's 18. Oh, my God. My life has changed overnight. And she's going to be a camp counselor at a sleepaway camp up near Gainesville this summer. So I'm going to take a long weekend and drive her. Because my test Friday is in the morning. But yeah. So anyway, so that's the scoop. If any of the stations that run the show need a best of, send me an email and I'll send you something. Because I didn't plan ahead. All right, so there's a lot going on today. As always, there's always a lot going on today. First of all, I need to address Covete. Is that how we say it? Did we have an exact pronunciation for Covete? Covete. Covete? Covfefe. Oh, it's Covfefe. Donald Trump tweeted in the middle of the night, And it was like the drugs kicked in or something. He's tweeting and the last word, I think it was supposed to be coverage, and he and fell off. And it, and the tweet stayed up there for something like 5 or 6 hours. Now, when I woke up, and I woke up at about 5 this morning, Convefe, that's it. And it had just been taken down. But already, my God, Twitter starts early, and it's everywhere. And I was thinking, okay, well, it's good to have fun with his imbecilic mind. And, you know, how stupid do you have to be to put out? I've often tweeted things I didn't mean to tweet. That's what the delete button is for. And I thought they were going to vet his tweets. They were going to have some, like, legal minds come in and vet his tweets before he tweeted them. So much for that idea. We have a moron, an imbecile in the White House. That's all I could say. Oh, and then he's tweeted ever since. And then he thought it was funny. And he tweeted, who can figure out the true meaning of covfefe? Followed by 3 question marks and then enjoy. What a dolt, I gotta say. There was other sort of Trump-related news that's not about Trump. It's about Kathy Griffin. I'm kind of disappointed. I appreciate Kathy Griffin. I think she's great. I'm a fan of hers. But she took a stupid picture and then she apologized. I'm not going to show the picture because I do think it's offensive. It is a very real looking severed head of Donald Trump, all bloodied, the blood even in the thing that's on the covers, the top of his head that, you know, is supposed to be hair. It's really graphic and just too much. If it was more campy, maybe it wouldn't have been so offensive, but it was. And Kathy Griffin realized it and realized it quickly. I mean, she saw the pushback and went, holy shit. And she recorded this apology.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Kathy Griffin. I sincerely apologize. I am just now seeing the reaction of these images. I'm a comic. I cross the line. I move the line. Then I cross it. I went way too far. The image is too disturbing. I understand how it offends people. It wasn't funny. I get it. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career. I will continue. I asked your forgiveness, taking down the image, going to ask the photographer to take down the image, and I begged for your forgiveness. I went too far. I made a mistake, and I was wrong.
You know, that's as much of an apology as anyone could ever give. She came on no makeup, no hair. Well, she has hair, but it wasn't coiffed the way she usually is. I mean, it was like, whoa. She just wanted to get on camera and make a full-throated apology. And it wasn't good enough. CNN severed ties. You know, Kathy Griffin did this New Year's Eve thing with Anderson Cooper on New Year's Eve, for years. Not that I ever watch it. I'm usually asleep by then. Even the year I got married on New Year's Eve, I was asleep by midnight. So, but she, you know, and they fired her. I don't think that's right. I think there's such a double standard. And the Republicans are all losing their shit over how violent the liberals are. Have you seen the guy from the Portland train in court screaming about that's what you get for being a liberal? But we're the violent ones. You know what? She fucked up. What can I say? She fucked up. The other thing that happened this morning is I awoke, I was up early, and that a little before 8 o'clock, I think, Axios, which is an offshoot of Politico. Some of the people who worked at Politico started this Axios.com news site, and they broke the story allegedly this morning, saying that Trump is pulling U.S. out of Paris climate deal. It's exactly what it says. President Trump has made his decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord, according to 2 sources with direct knowledge of the decision. Details on how the withdrawal will be executed are being worked out by a small team, including EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. They're deciding on whether to initiate a full formal withdrawal, which could take 3 years, or exit the underlying United Nations Climate Change Treaty, which would be faster but more extreme. And there are a few more details there. So that was, again, a little before 8 o'clock this morning. And then all the news organizations seemed to follow suit on Twitter. It was one after another, U.S. pulling out, Trump pulling out of Paris Accord, until Donald Trump decided to tweet, tweedledee-deedledee. And what he said was, I got to get into character. I will be announcing my decision on the Paris Accord over the next few days. Make America great again. That's really what he tweeted. Make America great again. Anyway, so I'm hoping that, you know, he got so mad that two sources with direct knowledge of the decision leaked the decision and took him out of the equation, that maybe he'll change his mind. I don't know for sure, but wouldn't that be nice? So it ain't over till it's over. Anyway, I decided to call on our old friend Desi Doyen, who hosts the Green News Report, you know, with Brad Friedman, who puts his name on everything. But it's Desi Doyen, really, who does the Green News Report, to find out what's the deal here? What happens if we pull out? So let's go. Desi Doyen hosts the Green News Report, along with Brad Friedman of the Brad blog. And when I woke up this morning and saw that Axios had said that sources say Donald Trump is pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, and most of the major news organizations followed suit, until just about an hour later, Donald Trump himself tweeted, because he can't steal his thunder, I will be announcing my decision on the Paris Accord over the next few days. Make America great again. So, but all indications are that he is pulling out. What I wanted to hear from you, Desi, is what the ramifications are.
Okay, well, let's see. So we have a couple of things. In the short term, obviously, the overview is that the United States is going to lose diplomatic standing, lose our international leadership standing. We'll have basically betrayed our allies and the 195 countries that signed on to this, you know, first ever global agreement. So that's bad. It will also mean that in the short term, the United States is going to lose out on the clean energy boom, because other countries are moving forward. They're using the Paris Climate Agreement as sort of a baseline, so that everybody is on an even playing field. You know, we're all working toward the same cutting of our emissions. And to get there, we're going to need to deploy renewable energy, stuff that the United States invented. But if we step out of the global clean energy race, then we will end up buying the technology from other countries, importing it, rather than being the leader in innovation and selling it to other countries.
Amazing.
So, that's the short-term effect. But the long-term effect, I think we're all pretty clear on, you know, the effects of CO2 releasing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere are cumulative. So every single molecule of carbon dioxide from here on out matters, and it all adds up. So this just means that, you know, we add more as the United States, and make it that much harder for the rest of the world, including us, to address the accelerating and arriving impacts of climate change.
Now, the whole Paris Accord, that whole thing, that was Obama's baby, wasn't it?
Yes. Without Obama, it would not have happened, because Obama had to be the one to step up and say, look, the U.S. has to commit to something first. In other words, we have to jump first so that other countries would feel safe enough that it was safe for them to jump as well, and that, you know, we weren't going to be taking advantage of them, you know, with them making all of these changes to their own systems that are going to be, you know, that are cost money. If we weren't going to do it, then we could undercut them. But at this point, it looks like even if the United States does pull out, that other countries are moving forward anyway.
Oh,
right now, there's supposed to be a summit on Friday with the European Union and China, and they have the Financial Times is reporting that they fully plan to announce a new bilateral partnership with just the two of them on continuing to lead on the Paris climate targets. So that just cuts the U.S. right out right there.
That is stunning. You know, the other thing is that all the provisions in it, the way I understand it anyway, are voluntary. The benchmarks, right, are not mandated.
Yeah.
So we could essentially stay in it and not really do the things that we say we're going to do.
Yeah.
But it seems like Trump just wants to rip this thing up because it has Obama's name on it.
Well, I think he wants to rip it up because he made a campaign promise. Yeah, it's got Obama's name on it, but he also made a promise during the campaign that he was going to pull out of it, that it was a bad deal, even though it's like the best possible deal. The U.S. has to do almost nothing. It costs us nothing to stay in. But, you know, he wants to rip that up. Anyway, I think in part because it's a campaign promise and because he doesn't want to be embarrassed. you know?
Yeah.
It's the lamest possible idea. But yeah, the Paris Agreement is entirely voluntary. And all it does is say, hey, what's your pledge, guys? All right, how do you think you're going to meet that? Can we help you meet that? Oh, you're falling behind. Let's see if we can help you do that. Oh, you can't make it? Okay, well, what's your new pledge? All right, well, we'll help you work for that. So it's completely
right.
voluntary, completely collaborative, and really stupid and self-inflicted wound for Trump to pull the United States out.
It's really stunning. Again, maybe I'm keep thinking that because, you know, leaks said that he was pulling out and the press ran with it this morning. Maybe just to get back at them, he'll say, well, see, you got it wrong. We're staying in. Is that a fantasy?
And that is very possible. I mean, with somebody with the apparently the emotional development of a toddler, it's not surprising that he might decide to do exactly that. I mean, he's jerking everybody around like he does as if it's a reality TV show, like it's The Apprentice. Oh, let's draw out the reveal, you know, but it's not a show. It's the planet. And as you have covered many times over these many years, this is all very, very serious. And this is any pullback from the United States in lowering its emissions is going to accelerate the arrival of the worst consequences.
What's,
you know, because as the Paris Agreement was, the current pledges that were all within the Paris Agreement that Obama signed, scientists already said that was not enough.
Right.
That was not going to be enough to keep us within that temperature target of having global temperatures rise no more than 2 degrees Celsius from all the CO2. So at this point, we are already set to overshoot that. The U.S. means we'll overshoot it more quickly, and the impacts will be more severe. But there is still, like I said, the entire world, the rest of the governments, do seem like they intend to continue moving forward on their pledges. So it just means that it will be that much harder and that much more costlier for us, the United States, to catch up to what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, what is stunning, Desi Doyen, are the countries that have not signed on to it. Up until now, there were two. It was Syria
right.
and Nicaragua. And now the United States will likely be the third. We're in company yeah. with Syria and Nicaragua in saying,
that's how great we are.
Screw the planet.
I know, and just real quick, so there's a couple of ways that this can happen. There are two different ways that he can exit this agreement, if that is indeed what he decides to do. There's the one-year plan and the four-year plan. The four-year plan is what's already written into the Paris Agreement. It's nobody can withdraw for 3 years. It's already been put into force. That's why the United Nations rushed so hard last year to put the agreement into force in November of last year, knowing, you know, trying to Trump-proof it, essentially. So it's already in force. So once in force, 3 years minimum before a country can announce its desire to withdraw, and then it's a year warning before a country can actually withdraw. So that puts it at November 2020, the next presidential election.
Yes.
So there's that, but then there's also the one-year exit. The one-year exit means that Trump pulls out or announces his intention to pull out of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. That is an actual treaty that was approved by the Senate back in 1992 with the Clinton administration. So by being a member of an actual United Nations treaty, he can withdraw, but presumably it would require Senate approval to withdraw. No president has ever actually tested that, trying to withdraw from a treaty using the Senate. I mean, he can try to unilaterally withdraw. That would probably open a lot of litigation. We'll see if the Republican-controlled Senate cares or not. So that's kind of where we are with that.
What about the Democrats in the Senate? Are any of them making noise about this?
Yeah, they're already making noise. You know, Merkley, Senator Rob Merkley? What am I getting his name?
Jeff Merkley
of Oregon. He has already been blasting on Twitter, you know, left and right. A lot of other Democratic senators have been as well. You know, I even saw Joe Rome, who is the founding editor of climateprogress.org. He said that this marks the end of the American century. Of us being in control, and it also puts the U.S. as the lead villain of the world. And that just is really, really bad. As the villain thwarting the global effort to save humanity. So, you know, the condemnations are coming hard and fast already because it's such a huge deal.
But
I think there is some calming good news in that it's not over yet.
Right. Well, that four-year thing is encouraging, a four-year plan. If that holds, then, you know, just America's got to get its shit together before November of 2020. And the Democrats need to get a great candidate.
Right. And also everybody in all of the congressional districts and in the Senate, because the U.S. can rejoin the agreement. There's nothing that would prevent us from doing that, but it would be likely to be required at that point. You know, it probably would make sense to try to go through and get Senate ratification. The reason we didn't get Senate ratification this time was because it was voluntary and not legally binding, so didn't require it. Written purposely to avoid having to get Senate ratification.
Wow.
So, you know, he can pull out unilaterally. He can't pull out of the Framework Convention Treaty of 92, but, you know, we can mobilize and continue to mobilize at the state level. Remember, state legislatures draw the congressional districts, and there will be a census in 2020. That means that whoever is in control of your state legislature in 2020 is going to draw the future congressional districts. So it's really imperative to have control, to have climate hawks in your state legislature by 2020.
By 2020.
In order to draw those districts.
That means the 2018 elections are so important. I mean, more
super
important
critical.
Than 2020. They've got to be in place by 2020 in order to, for the Democrats to have control when the census is taken. Tomorrow, by the way, for people who are in D.C., there's a big emergency rally going on at the White House at 5 p.m. Obviously, I'm in Florida and you're in Los Angeles, so we can't make it, but we'll be there in spirit. But I wanted to get the word out that an emergency rally on the Paris Accord is being held at the White House tomorrow. Desi Doyen, I know you're busy. You got a big day. What do you guys have on the show tonight?
We are probably going to be talking at length about the different options with the climate agreement being scuttled and what that means. You know, there's a new study that it's not really a study. I should call it an analysis. Associated Press did an analysis of the impacts of the United States pulling out of the Paris Agreement and what that would mean under different scenarios. It's not good. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's a bad deal. It's not over yet, but, you know, if the United States pulls out, depends on what other countries do. If other countries go ahead and meet their emissions targets and the U.S. completely blows through ours and does absolutely nothing to change our emissions that we're putting out right now, that whole cumulative CO2, it could raise global temperatures just with the U.S. alone by about a quarter to a third degree Celsius. And that's really big because we're already about 1 degree Celsius to the target. And for the U.S. by itself to add a third of that means everybody else will have to work that much harder, and we're that much more likely to overshoot the 2 degree guardrail.
Right.
At this point, we're already set to do that. So, you know, it depends on what other countries do. And the good news is within the United States that renewable energy is already as cheap or almost as cheap as deploying fossil fuels, especially when it comes to building large power plants. So, you know, depending on how much the U.S. grows its emissions, or if its emissions stay flat, or if market forces continue in the direction that they're continuing in, and our emissions drop as a country, despite what Trump does, then there's a chance that it won't be quite as bad.
Right. I don't understand why he doesn't take all those coal miners and say, look, coal is dead. It's a dead industry. We don't want coal. But let's put all of you back to work making wind turbines or solar panels or, you know, and moving forward. He's just somebody needs to get a hold of him and shake him. And it's interesting that, you know, in his inner circle, Rex Tillerson, who was the head of ExxonMobil for his whole life, that he wants to stay in the Paris Accord, as do allegedly Ivanka and Jared. And so, you know, maybe there's that glimmer of hope that, you know, he'll be
He's scheduled to speak with Rex Tillerson at some point today, presumably, you know, so maybe he will decide to do a big switcheroo and trick everybody. But I doubt that, you know, just because of the way that it seems to be leaning this in this direction. The reason Tillerson wanted to stay in and most of the oil majors wanted to stay in and all the major corporations wanted to stay in and the military wanted to stay in and even some coal companies wanted to stay in was because then the U.S. would have a seat at the table to negotiate for technologies like, oh, hey, you guys want us to stay in. Well, you have to buy our clean coal technology now.
Mm.
Or, you know, something to that effect,
right,
that we would have these technologies that would enable the fossil fuel industry to continue selling to these other countries and just mitigate the emissions. But by taking us away from that table, then, you know, it's less likely that the other countries are going to say, okay, fine, we'll buy your fossil fuel technology. So that's one of the reasons why that I think Tillerson wanted to stay, and was to have a seat at the table, and that was a legitimate place to be.
Well, maybe he can, you know, be shamed into it. I'm going to hold out hope because otherwise...
Yeah, we can always do that.
Nothing. Desi Doyen of the Green News Report and, of course, the broadcast with Brad Friedman, heard on the Progressive Voices Network at 8 p.m. Eastern, the Green News Report following my program every Tuesday and Thursday. Thank you, Desi.
Thank you, Nicole.
It's always great talking with Desi and Brad. Brad, I think, was still sleeping. No, they work hard on their show, so they're getting that together. It's not over till it's over, and I think he's going to be so incensed that somebody leaked it that he didn't get to make the big announcement, he's going to be just to spite them, the leakers, I'm going to stay in, which would be wonderful. So we'll see what happens. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. We've got What's News and then Dave Johnson coming up. The reason I always love talking with Dave Johnson, but there's a couple of reasons specifically. Dave has been writing, you know, he just left the Campaign for America's Future, and he's now a senior fellow over at the Center for Media and Democracy. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you've heard Lisa Graves on the program. They do great work. They're the ones behind Alec Exposed, Source Watch. I mean, they really are a watchdog group, and they watch out. They let us know what the Kochs are up to, what Alec is up to, what all these nefarious right-wing big money groups are up to. And Dave Johnson is now a senior fellow over there, and that's a great move for him. But while at the Campaign for America's Future, Dave wrote a lot about trade. And in the wake of Dump's trip to Europe, his the White House called it a successful trip. I don't know what world they're living in. Our relationship with Germany is strained, to put it very generously. Trump yesterday tweeted out, we have a massive trade deficit with Germany. Plus, they pay far less than they should on NATO and military. Very bad for U.S. This will change. He's been picking on Germany a lot. And then he made another comment about the cars, right? So I thought, what a good time to have Dave Johnson on to talk about how we don't have a trade pact with Germany. We do with the European Union. It's all one and the same. And I think Trump doesn't understand that. So Dave Johnson will explain it all to us and more when we talk in just a few minutes. But first, what's news?
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Axios.com reported Wednesday morning that President Trump had made his decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. An hour after the news spread, Trump tweeted,
"I will be announcing my decision on the Paris Accord over the next few days. Make America great again."
The only other two countries that aren't supporting the deal are Nicaragua and Syria. Stay tuned. White House spokesman Sean Spicer returned to the podium on Tuesday after a two-week absence and barely answered a question, beginning with those relating to Jared Kushner.
I'm wondering, Sean, if you can tell us whether the president knew at the time that Jared Kushner was seeking to establish back-channel communication.
communications at the Russian embassy to the Russian government? And if he didn't know at the time, when did he find out?
I think that assumes a lot. And I would just say that Mr. Kushner's attorney has said that Mr. Kushner has volunteered to share with Congress what he knows about these meetings. And he will do the same if he's contacted and connected with any other inquiry.
Did the president discuss it, though?
I'm not going to get into what the president did or did not discuss. But what your question assumes is a lot of facts that are not substantiated by anything but anonymous sources that are so far being leaked out.
Does he approve of that action?
You're asking if he approves of an action that is not a confirmed action. That being said, I think Secretary Kelly and General McMaster have both discussed that in general terms, back channels are an appropriate part of diplomacy.
Jake Tapper weighed in on anonymous sources, beginning with a Donald Trump tweet about the media's use of them.
Whenever you see the word sources say in the fake news media and they don't mention names, it is very possible that those sources don't exist, but are made up by fake news writers. Fake news is the enemy. The goal here, as it has been for months now, is to discredit any legitimate news reports based on firsthand accounts from within President Trump's own White House and his own administration. As I know firsthand, since I've spoken with people in his administration who have talked to me, only agreeing to do so if they were not named. Sometimes they did so to defend President Trump. Sometimes they did so because they were concerned about President Trump's behavior. But they were always 100% real people, as are the background briefings that the White House repeatedly sets up, in which unnamed presidential advisors provide information and often fawning prose to reporters.
Aside from not answering questions, Spicer once again took issue with the media's use of unnamed sources, but bristled when asked about Trump's retweet of a Fox story that relied on just one such anonymous source.
You said that first of all, that the article was based on anonymous sources.
Which it is.
But the Fox article that the president retweeted was also based on anonymous sources. Why are those sources, or the source rather, that they used more credible than the ones in the Washington Post article?
Again, I don't think there's two issues at hand. One is the statement that Jared's attorney has provided. Second is whether or not the dossier that is largely the basis of this was largely discredited in the first place. Most of the publications here refused to even publish it in the first place. So again, I'm not going to get into confirming stuff. There's an ongoing investigation.
The few questions Spicer chose to answer showed a disconnect from reality.
I think the relationship that the president has had with Merkel, he would describe as fairly unbelievable.
You're unbelievable.
They get along very well. He has a lot of respect for her. They continue to grow the bond that they had during their talks in the G7. And he views not just Germany, but the rest of Europe as an important American ally.
You're unbelievable.
The State Department is still woefully understaffed, but there was a press briefing on Tuesday about the trip the President and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson just wrapped up. Acting Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs Stuart Jones was at the podium and had a tough time answering questions.
Well, you were over there. The Secretary criticized the conduct of the Iranian elections and Iran's record on democracy. He did so standing next to Saudi officials. How do you characterize Saudi Arabia's commitment to democracy, and does the administration believe that democracy is a buffer or barrier or against extremism?
After a seemingly interminable 20 seconds, the acting assistant secretary said,
I think what we'd say is that at this meeting, we were able to make significant progress with Saudi and GCC partners in both making a strong statement against extremism and also putting in place certain measures through this GCC mechanism where we can combat extremism. Clearly, one source of extremism, terrorism threat is coming from Iran. And that's coming from a part of the Iranian apparatus that is not at all responsive to its electorate.
President Trump has been handing out his cell phone number to world leaders and urging them to call him directly, an unusual invitation that breaks diplomatic protocol and is raising concerns about security and secrecy. Reportedly, only Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau has taken the offer so far. Presidents generally place calls on one of several secure phone lines, including those in the White House Situation Room, the Oval Office, or the presidential limousine.
I got to-
And that's today's look at What's News. If you appreciate these reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener supported, and we can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. You'll get all the regular shows and have access to the new Monday Music Show podcast and The Vault at NicoleSandler.com, plus bonus content. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Dave Johnson, now a senior fellow at the Center for Media and Democracy. Hello, Dave Johnson. Uh-oh.
Hi, Nicole. How are you? And
good.
By the way, that's exposed by CMD.
Wait, hold on. Well, yes, I'm hearing you come back to me. I don't know why. Hold on. You're not supposed to... Okay, good. I muted it. That was weird. It didn't play before. It was what?
That's at exposedbycmd.org, by the way. They have this new, whole new thing there.
Good.
They expose corruption.
Okay, exposedbycmd.org. That's a better URL than prwatch.org.
Oh, yeah, the whole PR Watch. They've had a number of iterations of various things through the years, but the Alec exposed, Koch exposed,
right,
and all of that, they've realized that their mission is exposing corruption, and so they've come up with this Exposed by CMD branding, which I think is really good.
I love it. I'm actually, while we talk, I'm going to change the chyron on the YouTube thing because I'm a multitasker and I do everything.
Well, there you go.
There
you do everything. That's right. I'm on YouTube. I should have combed my hair.
Yeah, it's a groovy picture of you. It's not the dark, like, you know, beatnik looking Dave Johnson. It's the new. I took it from the CMD website at exposedbycmd.org.
I haven't seen it. I have to go over there. I looked for it yesterday. I'll go look again. Huh?
Yeah, they still have your title.
Okay, I have
wrong.
A game.
You have a game?
I have invented a game for us.
Okay.
When I come on. All right, true or not?
Ah,
okay.
Okay.
Is this true or not? All right.
Yep.
You know how Obama, every year, it's a presidential tradition that Barack Obama and presidents before him, every Thanksgiving, they pardon a turkey.
Right.
Right? Okay,
right.
True or not? Trump is having every turkey that Obama pardoned hunted down and killed. True or not? Does that sound like something Trump would do?
It sounds like something he would do, but I would say, no, it's false.
Oh, all right. But that's the true or not game. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. I like games
yeah.
like that. Yeah. Okay. True or not,
okay.
Dave Johnson. Donald Trump is going to align with Syria and Nicaragua as the only three developed nations not to sign on to the Paris Climate Accord.
Unfortunately, it looks like that's true. That'll be the tagline of the true or not game about Trump. Unfortunately, it looks like it's true.
I know. Yeah,
and the other one will be no. I guess it's not true, but it's certainly something Trump would do. Those are the two taglines.
It is conceivable. It is. Isn't that what they say
yeah.
in The Princess Bride? That's conceivable. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not beyond the pale. Of course, there's nothing beyond the pale
with this
of what
guy.
We would
no.
imagine.
And the latest thing, I heard is, you know, the what's the word? Cafife.
Yeah, right.
His typo yeah, from the middle of the night that became a thing. Vermont Gina in the chat room said spicy during today's briefing, said the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant, that it wasn't a typo, that he wrote it on purpose.
True or not? True or not?
It's very conceivable.
Al Franken had a great one.
Yes?
I saw Al Franken being interviewed, and they asked him if he knows what it means, and Al Franken said, I believe it's an old Yiddish word for I have to go to bed now.
Yeah. Someone take my phone, please.
Right. Her mom's coming in to take my phone, right.
Or, you know, Ivanka, when she tucks me in at night.
Oh.
Ew. So Dave Johnson, as I told the listeners, I always love having you on. You're welcome on any time. We can talk about anything. But because we've talked so much about trade, I understood over the last couple of days that Donald Trump has no conception of how trade works. He tweeted out yesterday or the day before, we have a massive trade deficit with Germany. Plus, they pay far less than they should on NATO and military. Very bad for U.S. This will change.
Sad.
It's sad. He has no clue. We don't have a trade deal. Just the U.S. and Germany, right? We have there's a European Union.
We trade with the European Union. The
right.
EU.
The EU.
Yeah. And I guess in the Trump era, we have to say ew.
Ew. But right. But there's
not
one
about
more
them,
thing.
But about, yeah.
Right. This Ambassador Wendy
so
Sherman.
We trade. Wait, yeah, wait. Exactly right. There is a trade deficit with Germany. Yes.
Okay.
But we can't do a trade deal with Germany. You know, we can't cancel a trade deal with Germany. It's the EU.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And he also mm-hmm.
he also
went on talking about the cars. We've got to do something about the cars, right? I don't have the exact quote, but
right.
He was pissed off that there are
right.
all these German cars. We have BMWs and Mercedes here. Oh my God! Well, Ambassador Wendy Sherman, who used to be an Undersecretary of State for something, you know, one of those hundreds of jobs that has not been filled yet in the Trump administration,
right.
was on TV
right.
with Lawrence O'Donnell last night, and he brought up the cars thing. And listen to this: what she said.
The irony is that BMW exports more automobiles from Spartanburg, South Carolina, from the United States to the rest of the world than does any other automaker in the United States.
And he has no clue.
He didn't know that Germany makes cars here.
No.
I know. I know. It's like so many of the things. His budget, for example, or the health care bill. Do you for a minute believe, okay, true or not,
yeah.
Is this true that Trump even knows what's in his budget?
He has
or
no
Trump
idea.
Trump even knows what's in his health care deal?
No
true
idea. True. He has no idea.
Right.
No clue.
He does not know what's
right.
in his... He doesn't know. I don't think he cares either, by the way.
Well, I think
but
he believes
exactly.
whatever
and
the
it's
last
a
person...
horrible situation we're in.
Right. Whatever the last person he talks to says, and somebody's telling him, oh, there's coverage for pre-existing conditions in there, because he keeps saying it. And
right.
so someone tells it, someone, right. doesn't matter who, it could be the janitor, said, oh, you got pre-existing conditions in there, no worries. And he believes
and,
it.
And specifically to get the votes of these far, far right Republicans, the Freedom Caucus or whatever they're
yeah.
called, they took it out. They didn't take it out. What they did was they said any state can grant a waiver.
Right. They okay? can opt out.
And so here's what will happen, by the way. Because if you think that this just means, you know, on the exchanges and stuff, the other thing they're doing is they're letting people buy insurance from other states. So where you work, okay?
Yeah.
Because when you take out the pre-existing conditions, the insurance is going to cost less. Your company... where you work, if you're listening to this, will buy insurance from one of those states that gives a waiver and does not require the insurance company to cover pre-existing conditions, does not require the insurance company to cover basic services. Your company will start buying insurance out of that state, and you will lose your basic services and pre-existing conditions coverage, too. So
right.
just so you know, this is not going to just affect those people who buy it on the exchanges, et cetera, et cetera. It will probably affect you.
Who does not have a pre-existing condition? I mean, I've got plenty
who,
to
what?
Go around. Who
no, that's
who does
right.
not
yeah.
have one? I've got plenty to go around.
Oh, yeah, I got some good ones, too. Yeah, I know.
Right? I mean,
but,
it's
but
insane.
Almost anything. And the other thing that happened before Obamacare was that when you got sick, that's when the company would come in with the pre-existing condition
and say,
oh, no, you fraudulently had this insurance all along.
You
so we're not going to cover
acne.
This now that you're sick.
You had acne when you were 13,
right.
And you didn't put that on your application, so we're not covering
right.
your lung cancer. And that's the
right.
kind of shit
they did.
And
by the way,
did.
We're not going to give you the money back you
right.
paid for your insurance still
that's
now
right.
either.
That's right. But that is
oh,
the
yeah.
kind of stuff
right.
they did before. I mean, people have short memories, you know, and
right.
this is
right.
this is what they want to return to, which I think is asinine. The only saving grace, Dave Johnson, and tell me if you think this is true or not, that the they'll never get anything through the Senate.
No, bullshit.
You think they will?
We're not on broadcast frequencies, are we?
No, we're not. You can you
this
can say
is
whatever
bullshit.
You want.
That is bullshit. I mean, you look at these clowns. They won't even
bullshit.
You know, they're blocking investigating of Russia and things like that.
Yeah,
of course it'll get through
that's
the Senate.
True. That's true.
My God.
But they're afraid
not
of
only
losing
that,
their jobs.
Trump says let's get rid of the filibuster.
Oh, I saw that. Well, I said that they're afraid of losing their jobs. That's the only reason they vote anyway at all, is because they don't want to lose their you know, their jobs that they're up for every 6 years. So if anyone's, you know, they don't want to take Medicaid. The reasonable ones among them, the handful of them, you know, the women mostly. But yeah, I don't doubt anything can happen. As to the filibuster, you're right. This is another one. Trump tweeted yesterday, the U.S. Senate should switch to 51 votes immediately and get health care and tax cuts approved fast and easy. Dems would do it, no doubt. You fucking moron. The Democrats could have done it and they didn't do it. I was wanting
when,
them
when
to
Republicans
do it.
Filibustered every last
everything
thing that the Democrats did, every single thing, which is, you know, they talk about, well, we need infrastructure. Yeah, well, Republicans filibustered it,
yep.
What, four times, I think.
Yep.
Every time they brought it up to try to do something, no. They filibustered it. We couldn't get the Dems to get rid of the filibuster.
Nope.
Of course they won't do it. We can't get them to do it.
And so, you know, I tweeted something like that in response, and one of his little trolls, like, you weren't paying attention. Harry Reid did it. First of all, he can get health care and tax cuts. Those are the two things that he can get through reconciliation, which only take 51 votes, if they can get 51 votes.
Right.
And Mitch McConnell said, I don't see us getting to 50, talking about health care repeal. And that's something else that, what's his name, Al Franken mentioned. So I think it will be hard for them to completely fuck
remember
people
how they
over.
Weren't going to pass the health care thing in the House either, and then they did.
Yeah,
so,
that's
you know.
That's true. I know anything is possible. And
let me throw something in here though. I think that I'd be happy if they got rid of the filibuster. Oh my God, that's one more of those ways that they can rig the game against we the people. It's bad enough right now that the Republican senators come from these states with. The cow states, you might call them. You look at these maps of where it's all red all over the country.
Yeah.
That's because a lot of cows apparently can vote. Here's how it works: when they voted in Gorsuch,
yes,
the Supreme Court guy, the Democrats who voted against him had 22 million more votes than
yes.
the Republicans who voted for him.
That's right. That's true.
The Senate is a rigged game because if you're a state. With a lot of cows and not very many people, you still get two senators.
That's right.
New York and California get two senators, too. So that's how the Senate works. So if you can get rid of the filibuster, that helps unrig that game a little bit. When the Democrats come back
when
in,
the
or
Democrats
anyway, it's
come
an anti-democracy
back in.
Thing.
Right, but the problem is that when the Democrats come back in is correct. But for right now, it's frightening as hell. If all they need is 51 votes to pass everything, they can do a lot of damage.
They're doing a lot of damage.
That's
true. I mean, it's worth it to me to just get rid of the filibuster. I don't think if the Democrats could filibuster something, then they would end it anyway. So I'm not worried about that. They definitely would end it.
Right.
If there was a threat
Although,
of actually blocking something.
Don't you remember, Dave Johnson? I remember us going through like major contortions as to what they would have to do to end the filibuster. Like you have to do it. It's got to be the first vote in the new session of a new Congress. And we were all holding our breath when Harry Reid came in, when the Democrats had control. Would he do it? And then, no, he didn't do it. I mean, they just seem to, well, we can do it. All we have to do is flip a switch and we get it done. Why is
That's
everything?
True. All you have to do is just vote. have 51 votes against it.
Then why were we all wringing our hands and going through all these machinations in the first vote of the new session? And who told us that?
Actually, you're not quite correct. It's the first vote of a new session if the moon is full.
Oh, I see.
True or not?
Not true.
True or not?
Not.
Really? It has to be. It also can't be in a month with less than 31 days.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. So, now you're getting me. See, all these things you're making it way too. But that's how Democrats do it. They follow the letter of the law, and the Republicans are going, fuck that. We're just going to vote on it and make it so.
So here we are.
Here we are.
I have to tell you something. I mean, here we are. The conversation is immediately overwhelmed by what's going on. Everything is overwhelmed.
And that's what
I've
I was going to ask you about.
I've been having trouble writing because I'm overwhelmed.
I've been having
everything,
trouble.
You know, it's like,
I've been having trouble doing my show because there's so much going on. There's so much.
It's hard to do the show without being interrupted halfway through by breaking news that Trump shot someone or something, you know?
Right. Every afternoon at 5:30. Yeah. What, another bombshell. Like, oh, my God. CNN puts up the breaking news banner and there's really breaking news.
Yeah. I know. I was watching the News Hour one Friday and what's her name? Kept saying, hold on, we have another breaking news story we have to bring up. I think it happened 3 times during the show.
Yeah, this is, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And okay, so I'm not the only one who's overwhelmed. I'm hearing it from a lot of people. There is too much, too much. And it's important information. I mean, everything we learn, these are stories and we're glad they're there. Most of them are coming from leaks that, of course, Trump is decrying because, oh my God, somebody's leaking my stuff. We need to find them and prosecute them. Well, there's a reason they're doing
it. How did we find out about remember the Comey letter?
Yeah.
The FBI letter.
Yeah.
How did we find out about that, by the way?
You mean the memo?
It was a letter confidentially written to a investigating committee of Congress, confidentially.
Uh-huh.
And you know how we found out that he'd written that letter?
Somebody Chaffetz released it.
Leaked it.
Yes. Who leaked it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who leaked
Chaffetz.
It? Chaffetz. Oh, well, Jason believed, Chaffetz. You think
what's
so?
What's his name? Chaffetz.
Jason Chaffetz, who's now leaving Congress to go to Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
He is. That's what he's
of
doing.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's he's
you
not
think
even.
He'll get paid more or less than he did in Congress?
He'll get paid more because in Congress, you get $167,000 or something. So I'm sure Fox said, come on, we'll give you $250,000. Come on over here. You know all kinds of stuff. And he's like,
we'll give you $250,000. But you're going to get tons of speaking fees everywhere you go, personal, as you name it. He'll probably pull in at least $1.5 million a year.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. The
members of Congress go on to their rewards.
And taxpayers are going to taxpayers are going to have to pay for a special election to fill his seat.
Yeah, yeah, right. So we always have to keep an eye on a couple of things. One of them is the bigger picture. The bigger picture here is what's happening to us. It's not Trump. This is the culmination of how many years of this Republican Party, okay? It's a culmination of decades of anti-government propaganda that people listened to until it became a cult on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've got to keep an eye on the bigger picture as well. I mean, we can be distracted and upset by each daily thing happening, but the bigger picture is extremely important to keep an eye on, and that's understanding the bigger picture of what's happening to us, because only then do we start to see a way out of this, you know? The bigger picture is that we are divided, we're set against each other, you know, there's race, there's all these things. I used to say there was class, that there was a class war going on, but now the way it works is that all the money is going to literally, I think, about 200 people. So it's not a class
half
war
of them,
anymore. I mean,
half
just
of them
a few
are
people.
Half of them are in the cabinet.
The Walton family gets, I think, it's $52 billion in tax breaks from the
estate tax repeal alone.
Right.
The estate tax repeal alone.
Just
one
family,
the Walton
$52 billion.
Yeah.
The larger picture here of what's going on here is that we have this situation where we're all manipulated. People are manipulated. We're always forced to take our eye off the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. Remember who the problem is. And we still appear to have opportunities to do something about it. Georgia has voting machines that you can't tell who you voted for. So if you're voting in Georgia, you know, in this special election, please ask for paper ballots. But that's what we do about overwhelmedness. Although that saying that doesn't help me write. I still have trouble. By the, I figure by the time I get done with the post, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's the problem. I do What's News this morning.
Yeah.
I did What's News, and I had it all done. All right, Trump's pulled the U.S. out of the climate deal. And just as I saved it, I saved it to three different files. I saved it to my first file, and then he tweeted that, you know, Yeah, I'll be announcing my decision on the Paris Accord over the next few days. Make America great again.
Right.
And I had to go back and redo the first part of it because it wasn't, you know, wasn't good anymore. That's the thing. I mean, and who knows what's going to break in the next hour or so. And I'm not going to be here the next 2 days. So it'll be interesting to, you know, sit back and sort of listen as a consumer of news rather than one who has to ingest all of it and then regurgitate it, because it's really hard to do right now.
It is.
And
it's very hard.
Doing it alone.
Before anything else, let's go back to one, though. You mentioned the NATO paying for NATO thing.
Yes, yes.
That's a really important one to clear up, by the way, because it's just a lie. It is a flat-out lie. I mean, maybe he doesn't understand originally. By now, someone's explained to him, and he's just lying. The NATO deal is that the countries of NATO, because of pressure from Obama, by the way, not Trump, agreed a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, that by 2020, each of them would increase their own country's military budgets to 2% of GDP. They're not owing us money. They're not owing NATO money. All they said was that by 2020, they would increase their own country's military spending to 2% of GDP, and they're on the way to doing that. And Trump doesn't seem to get that, or is using a lie as propaganda here, because that's what that's all about. And by the way, I saw somebody, I forget where, mention this idea that European countries ought to get more and more armed has never worked out well in the past. So that is what Trump's on about, and it's just a lie.
Everything he says.
True or not?
True.
True or not? Is Trump lying?
True. Everything he says is a lie. The man, I told this story the other day. I used to work with a guy who was just a notorious liar. And it got to the point where I really believed he believed his bullshit. You know, he would tell these lies over and over again to the point where I think he really believes what he's saying now. And that's what's so scary. Trump was never this guy. I mean, he used to be a Democrat. He until what, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when he turned birther. I really think he's one of those people who was brainwashed by Fox.
Well, I think the Alzheimer's kicked in, and then he started saying this stuff.
And I don't know. Started watching Fox TV too much, Fox so-called news, and got brainwashed, because it happens. It happens to old people. There's a woman named, I think, Jen Sanko, who did a movie, The Brainwashing of My Dad, and it's the same kind of thing. He was older. Yeah. He was getting a little bit of dementia, and all he would do was watch Fox. My friend Amy, her father got remarried after her mother died, and the wife just keeps Fox on, and now the father is starting to talk in these. He was always one of us. And now he's saying all these crazy things because the wife has Fox on in the house all the time.
Yep. Yep.
This is what happens to people.
What they've been doing with this propaganda, these decades of this propaganda machine. Fox didn't used to make money, by the way, but they kept it going. Rush Limbaugh was subsidized for a long time.
Long, long time.
But they kept it going.
Well, we've talked about this. Yeah, what?
At the end of a half hour, it's probably not a good idea to get Nicole Sandler talking about if progressives support media or not.
You know where I'm going. Yeah, it's true, though. Look, when all the boycotts started, when advertisers started dropping off of Rush Limbaugh's show and Glenn Beck's show, they had organizations on the right that pitched in and that, you know, that donated money. One on the left... the same advertisers dropped because they didn't want to do, they just said no controversy, no politics. So the progressive shows lost the advertisers too, but they didn't have the left-wing groups stepping in to do the issues advertising. They just lost their sponsors, and many of them went off the air.
Well, the left-wing groups are all broke too.
Well, that's the problem.
By the way.
Yeah. Well, there are people on the left that have money, though. So why don't those people pony up a little bit of it?
Well, another concept that I really would like to get advertising a bunch is, you know how we were able to fund Bernie?
Yes.
What if everybody who gave Bernie money could just pitch in $5 a month to progressive groups in general, any progressive group, just, you know, pick your favorite. Because if millions of people were given $5 a month, we would have a very powerful progressive infrastructure, you know?
I know. No kidding. I say...
Somebody had a really good idea on funding media, too, and that is that instead of you have to go to each media outlet you support, there should be a progressive media fund, and you just give $10 a month to the progressive media fund, and it dishes it out to Nicole Sandler.
Okay.
Mostly Nicole Sandler, except when I'm on Richard Eskow's show, then I say mostly Richard Eskow.
All right, Richard can have
a little bit. Then chop it up and give it out.
I like that idea. And with that, Dave Johnson, it's the idea we have to go out on because we're out of time.
Okay.
But thank you, as always.
Good
Dave Johnson.
Thank you.
Find him at exposedbycmd.org. Exposedbycmd.org. And
yes.
On the Twitter is @DCJohnson. Thank you, Dave Johnson. He's always correct.
Thank you, Nicole.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Is that true or not?
True. All right. With that, we are done. I will not be here for the next 2 days. So Leslie Marshall will be running in my place. If you are one of the stations that carries the show and you need a best of, send me an email and I'll send you a show you can run in its stead. Otherwise, I'll be back for Monday Music and Tuesday again with Laffy. And please, Donald Trump, don't blow up the world while I'm gone. Or I guess if you're going to do it while I'm gone. What can I tell you? I'm going to a concert tonight. I'm going to see Joe Jackson. So I will leave you with one of my favorites of his songs. It was never a hit for him, but the lyrics are just spot on. It's called Right and Wrong. If you're on YouTube, I'm sorry, I need to pull the music down or they'll copyright violate me. And I don't need to be violated any more than the president does daily. So thanks for listening. Have a great long weekend, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Stop everything. Think I hit a president. The Pied Piper of the TV screen. It's gonna make it simple. He's got it all mapped out and illustrated with cartoons. Too hard for clever folks to understand. Yeah, them are used to words like
ideology,
but they say it's not the issue. You know, I saw the news last night.
kid with cartoons. So when they come with that opinion, Paul, they better not choose words like